Source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series, The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That I promise.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their old haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and are reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
UFOs are found in Renaissance art, on ancient coins, and etched on cave walls. They're even reported in the Bible. But more surprising is when UFOs are seen the most in times of war. Through centuries, thousands of UFO sightings have been made by high-ranking officials, military pilots, and ordinary soldiers. Often, these fantastic appearances occur at the height of great battles. From World War I to D-Day to Korea, Vietnam, and beyond, military investigators are baffled. Why do UFO sightings spike so drastically during wartime? Could it be mistaken aircraft, or is someone, or something, looking in on us? In UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, Mac Maloney chronicles centuries of these incredible sightings and tries to solve the puzzle of why so many UFOs are seen while humanity is at war. Read about the scare ships, the ghost planes, and the ghost rockets, alien giants in the jungles of Vietnam, UFOs controlling our ICBM bases, dogfights with flying saucers during the Gulf War, and more. 300 pages of unbelievable stories, along with many startling photographs. That's UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, by Mac Maloney. On sale at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I didn't miss the cue. Bill was talking. I had to wait till he was done before I could hit the button.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. All I heard was bloop, 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 bloop. I'm like, oh, are we going to do this again? Yeah. No. No, it is a great Monday, the 25th of January.
Yay. What day is it?
Out of January already.
I know. How'd that happen?
I know, right? It's almost February. What's good about February, I call it the transition month. That's when you're kind of like, okay, the dead of winter is kind of going away.
Yeah.
And once you get towards the end of it, you start feeling springy.
You feel springy?
Even though the weather might not be springy, but you're like, okay, we're almost there. You know what I mean? So, anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, being the 25th day of January, we will let you know that it is National Opposite Day. So, whatever you usually do, don't do it. Do the opposite. And
well, that explains why my children were insanity today.
I was thinking about that when you said that. But it is National Irish Coffee Day. Me being Irish, I drank coffee. It wasn't Irish coffee, but I guess it makes it Irish coffee since I was drinking it.
Because you're Irish and you drink it?
I drank it.
Wait, which one's Irish coffee? Doesn't you put Jameson in the coffee?
Sure, why not?
No, I'm honestly asking. I
don't know. I just Irish creamer, Irish. I don't know what Irish coffee is, but okay. You know.
So you're not
helpful
either.
You get K-Cups that says Irish coffee on it. National Bubble Wrap Day.
Woohoo!
I know. Wrap yourself up and roll yourself down a hill and listen to your pop. And for our friends in Florida listening today, it is your day. Which is where I'd like to be right now.
Okay.
No?
Why would you want to be in Florida?
It's warm.
Is it?
Warmer than here.
But you have to put up with all the ridiculousness.
That's everywhere. But okay, if you say so.
Yeah.
All right. So tonight we will be doing a little bit here that I wrote a while back.
Wait, before we do that, don't do that.
Okay. Okay.
Before we do that, I want to put out two announcements. Number one, if you want to get your gummy Terror Red, all that sugary sweetness will be back next week. So get your question ready or get in line now and we will, get that all set.
Get you red.
Yes, we'll get you done red.
Tara will red you.
And also, just a real quick personal, I'm using my show for my own business.
That's cool.
Listener Helena, I see you in the chat room. You can't see me waving, but I'm waving. I just want to say, hopefully you're home tomorrow because there's something coming to your door. Okay, bye. All right, good.
Okay. There's nothing coming to my door.
There is nothing coming to your door.
Okay. I worry about what you send me in the mail.
It's never living. It always starts living, but then by the time it gets there, you know.
Yeah, it's gone. Oh, my. Anyway, a friend of mine stopped in my shop one day, and he's very into paranormal. He's been asking to go on a paranormal investigation with me for probably a year now, and because of COVID and everything, we really haven't done any of that.
Yeah.
But he is a police officer, and he tells me all kind of weird stuff that goes on, people calling in and ghost stories. In our area, we have shadow people constantly, flying around, basically. But he also told me about a gentleman who talked to him about an out-of-body experience he had after a car accident. And I found it very interesting and got me thinking, like, there's probably a lot of people out there that had this kind of experience where they see themselves after a traumatic incident or, maybe somebody from their past who has passed on has helped them through a traumatic experience. So something like that. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's kind of a mosh posh of
you
paranormal.
Say mosh posh?
Yeah, I said mosh posh. Why do old people say mosh posh? Anyway.
Wait, is that actually a word?
What, mosh posh? Maybe it's an Irish coffee thing.
I know. What the?
Oh, yeah, right. But an out-of-body experience supposedly is an experience in which a person experiences the world from a location outside of their physical body.
Can you say experience again? Because you just said it like four times in that sentence.
Okay. An out-of-body experience is a... whatever. Although a term, otoscopy, depends on which end of the universe you're on, more commonly refers to the pathological condition of seeing a second self or a doppelganger. Which, yeah, that's a whole different story in itself. But, so is it neuroscience or paranormal? So, as, like, when you're sleeping, your spirit body snaps free and drifts upwards to your physical shell is left only in the bed below. And I hear a lot of that kind of story, too. Connected only by a fragile silvery cord. You turn and observe yourself peacefully sleeping. Could this be evidence of the soul, or could it be proof of an after death? So these are just different, for instances, I guess you want to say. Reports of out-of-body experiences vary. Some consist of little more than a fleeting feeling that the body and the mind have come loose, while others recount tales of floating far from a person's physical body and traveling to otherworldly planes. Either way, out-of-body experiences have fascinated humanity for centuries, entering folklore, spiritual belief, and mythology. So that is kind of like the hard background of different reasoning, I guess you want to say. Yeah. So, but science says out-of-body experiences are defined as experiences, I'm using experiences a lot, huh? In yes. which a person seems to be awake and sees his body in the world from a disembodied location outside the physical body. Recent neurological and neuroscientific research suggests that it's the result of disturbed bodily multisensory integration, primarily in right tempora for dinner, right? Okay, I'm not a brain guy, okay? But it's in the brain.
Why did you pick something so scientific?
Because I wanted to get the background of the scientific end of the story, okay?
Okay,
because
temporoparietal cortex.
You have the spiritual end, and then you have the scientific end.
Okay, ready?
And you have the reality end.
Ready? Repeat after me. Temporoparietal cortex.
No, that's okay. How about, and the most loosely defined and refer to a set of subjective phenomena, often including an out-of-body experience that is triggered by a life-threatening situation, such as an accident, whatever you want to, you know, put it through. Although a number of different theories have been proposed that the putative brain process underlying NDEs, I got to put my glasses on. There you go. Neurologists and cognitive neuroscientists. Why do they got to call themselves these big words anyway?
Because they're doctors with big fancy degrees. They paid for every letter.
Well, they paid little attention to these phenomena, although several experimental investigations based upon the principles of cognitive neuroscience are possible. This might be understandable, but it is unfortunate. Okay, this is just going way too far into it. Basically, the scientists are just saying that it is a brain function that is making you think that you're having this. So it's normal. It's just like people say, I saw the light when I was dying, and then they were brought back to life. Could it be spiritual? Could you be going through a tunnel? Could you be going to, you know, heaven, as they say? Or is it just your brain waves, you know, exploding in there, you know, prior to death, you know, making you think that when you come back? So, yeah, this is the whole big end of the story. So, I am really trying to see. Anyway, so this is the story of my friend's, you know, experience. So, a close friend of mine, like I said, he told me about this man had an out-of-body experience. A call came in for a multi-vehicle accident. When arriving on the scene, At the scene, they found one car had rear-ended another. The driver of the car that hit the other car was slumped over the steering wheel. He had a heart attack, causing him to rear-end the other vehicle. The officers pulled the man out of the car, started CPR, and continued until the EMTs arrived, and then they used paddles to shock his heart back into rhythm. He was then transported to the local hospital, where he had to be resuscitated again. He eventually recovered and now is doing well, thank God, you know? So this man stopped into the police station to thank the officers that saved his life. But then he told them this incredible story. So when the accident happened, suddenly he found himself standing on the street corner looking at the scene. He watched as the police arrived, pulling him out of the damaged car and starting to revive him. Suddenly next to him was his mother standing with him. She looked at him and smiled and said, "You have to go back. It's not your time." Then he said it felt like a bolt of lightning hit him, and it was most likely, or as he said, the EMTs using the paddles to kickstart his heart again. So once he was stable at the hospital, he awoke. There with him was a young male nurse. He described him as an olive-skinned Spanish guy, and his name was Manuel. The nurse said, "You will be just fine. I will be with you to make sure you're okay." Over the next few weeks, the nurse was true to his word. During this time, the nurse made sure that him and his wife, being the gentleman who was in the hospital, his wife was going on his recovery, and he was very informative of what was going on. So finally, the day came when he was discharged and given a clean bill of health. So this man wanted to make sure that he thanked that nurse, Manuel, for all the great care. So him and his wife asked to speak with him, but to their surprise, there was not a nurse with that name at the hospital. They also said there was no male nurses on the staff at all.
At all?
None.
Wow, okay.
So the wife argued and said, "There has to be. We spoke with him on many occasions, but to their dismay, there was no Manuel or any male nurses at all at the hospital."
Yeah.
That's freaky. So the officers he was telling the story to immediately got the chills, accepted his thanks, and, you know, the couple left. So the word ghost in a nightmarish to every human being since the tender age, we have been scared by ghost stories narrated by our grandparents or parents. And we tend to believe in this because someone in the other life has claimed to experience paranormal activities at least once. Somebody, like in our families, you know, have said that they have experienced it. On that basis, we don't consider ghosts to be friendly, but with this, here is a list of life incidents that prove that spirits went to an extent of saving human lives.
Well, before we jump into that, Manuel. Yeah.
What's that?
I was like, before we jump into that, I just got to say, my 5-year-old does not believe ghosts are scary because we were watching Ghostbusters the other day. And you know the part where, like, they were walking in the library? It's like one of their first cases. And the, like, librarian ghost turns around and, like, goes, "Ah!" and scares them. And they all go running out. And so she turns around. She goes, "Mommy, that's not a ghost. That's a monster. Ghosts aren't scary."
Oh. And
I'm like, "I taught you good."
So she knows the difference. Oh, okay. But, I mean, isn't that story I've heard of things like this. Like, that's not the first time I've heard that type of story where somebody says, "I see myself standing watching the EMTs pull me out of the car," you know, but then he goes as far as saying his wife or his mother was standing on the side watching, said, "It's not your time. You got to go back." And his mother was dead for, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
But then, okay, that's just one part of it. And then he goes to the hospital and there's a ghost nurse there with him. So I guess it was very important for, you know, him to keep going, you know. I don't know.
Well,
so you think that there are, I mean, I guess, so, you know, I'm sure you do think that there are spirits that watch over you.
Well, yeah, but I think you're talking about two different phenomena here. So we've got the out-of-body experiences, which was, like you said, the guy watching himself being pulled out of the car.
Right.
And then you've got the situation where you're standing next to a Manuel or a grandma or, you know, somebody who's not living.
Right.
And I don't necessarily know that those two are connected at all times, because I've heard plenty of people say, you know, oh, I saw myself on the operating table. Oh, you know, I was in a car accident. I saw myself above the car and then I was suddenly pulled back in, you know, right, where there was no second person there to greet them or to push them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think that we're talking about two separate things that obviously in this case are connected.
Right.
Cause I also had an experience.
Save your life.
Yeah. I had an experience like that. So my grandmother, before she passed, was super like, ghosts are not a thing. I don't know why you ghost hunt. You're a goofer. Like she called me a doofus all the time. She's like, you're a doofus. Like, like that's not how it works. I'm like, okay, right, grandma, whatever you say. But then she went into the hospital and it was the same idea. She said, like, you know, there was an orderly that stopped by every day and would sit and talk to her when the family wasn't around. And then she said she wanted to thank him or, you know, just acknowledge that he had done a really great job. And they were like, we don't have orderlies. We have volunteers, but they wear this, you know, this color scrub and they don't interact with patients. They do, you know, other stuff. She's like, no, he was there. Like, she's like, I talked to him. He was there. He was part of it. And they're like, no, that's not a thing. Like, you know.
I think there's a lot of that goes on in hospitals, and some may just be passed off as, you know, like, oh, well, like maybe I was mistaken or whatever. You know what I mean? Because of all the spirits and death and different things that go on at the end of life in a hospital, who knows, you know? I remember a case where my ex-wife's sister, I remember the grandmother, their grandmother was in the hospital and she was on basically on hospice. She was near death. Mm-hmm. And she looked at my ex-wife's sister and says, you take care of that little girl, you know, and she had dementia and stuff, you know, it was no, you know, they knew she was going to pass soon, you know, and she just looked at her and said, you take care of that little girl. Well, she didn't even know she was pregnant at that point, but the grandmother knew she was pregnant and she had a girl. Ain't that weird?
It does definitely.
Yeah. I was there for it. I'm like, huh, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're not pregnant, but apparently she was, and she had a little girl.
Wow. So good for grandma, yeah. I guess. Who knew what was going on? Is it good for grandma?
Good for grandma? She died.
That's not what it.
Oh.
Anyway, Kara in the chat room said, I'm reading about hedge witchery right now, and that involves traveling outside the body for what that's worth. And I think that, and along with something like similar, like astral projection, I think those are different than out of body experiences.
Yeah, they're things that you kind of want to do, I guess.
Yeah, that you're actively pushing yourself to that state. At least that's my opinion. I might be wrong. I haven't read, you know, what Kara is reading. But from the few things that I know about astral projection, you're actively kind of launching yourself into that state. And I'm going to say the majority of the time, because I'm sure there might be some accidental astral projections sometimes. Yeah. So I don't know if that.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll keep moving on a little bit. Like I said, I haven't read over this in months. But this is a dead wife saved a husband's life. So, and these are really quick. The story goes back to an era when people used to ride horses. A man named Charles Henry Durand, who reported to the Chicago Tribune, told them that one night when he was returning home from a white figure appeared before him, and he could hear his late wife's voice. So it whispered to him that he shouldn't go home right now. The next morning, when he reached home, he noticed that a window was broken. He also found a string which was attached to a gun. If it went off, Durand would have been dead. So somebody booby-trapped his house, and if he would have went in that night, I guess the gun would have went off and he would have been dead. So Oh.
Ooh, the...
Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible Wile E. Coyote trap.
I know, right? Yeah, that's awesome.
That's terrible. I mean...
I don't know what goes on in the, you know, that period. But
I don't know.
Mother's ghost became the savior. This incident took place in 2015, where the mother and daughter were trapped in a car, and it was hanging in an icy river, upside down for 14 hours. Now, this looks like something I'd see on TV, but when rescue teams saved the kid, they noticed that the mother was already dead. There was no trace of anyone else who would have been shouting for help. They believe it was the ghost of the mother.
Oh, I read about that one.
Oh, really?
That was in the newspaper. Like, that was a big deal. Like, the rescue workers, at least if it's the same story that I'm thinking of, is like a mom and a baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they said they heard somebody screaming for help, and they got there, and only the baby was still alive, and just barely. And they were up and down, left and right, convinced that they had all heard a woman screaming for help.
Wow. That isn't the one over the bridge where people go now to listen to it.
No. This was like in a river, just like you said. Like it was an SUV that had driven off. I don't know where how it had gotten into the river, but it somehow had driven off the road into the river.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, heck, I believe it. Yeah, I think. number three on my list is called The Savior. The story prevails of an island of the South Carolina, where people claim that a gray man roams around the beaches, and if you see him, you will be safe from the hurricane that hits the shore. Does this sound absurd? Mm-hmm. Well, Jim and Clara, okay, I don't know their last name, but Jim and Clara.
Oh, those
otherwise.
Guys. All right, those guys.
Yeah, they actually met the gray man, and their house was the only one that was saved by the hurricane. Rumors are that a ghost of a pirate or a young man who died to save her lover. That doesn't make any sense. And I wrote the damn thing. But basically, so spirit trying to save people. If the spirit comes to you and a hurricane comes, you will be saved from the hurricane. That one, you know what I mean.
I got you.
So, yeah, no, I don't. Woman who came back to life. A 50-year-old woman, Sonia Burton, died 56 minutes. The woman claims that she died of a heart attack and then came back to life after her late husband visited her and said that it was not her time to go. She should go back to her children. 56 minutes?
That's a long time to be dying.
Or dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. So, but these are all stories that were, you know, basically said, you know, that the people died, you know, on a table or whatever. And, you know, this is what their brain thought that they seen during this period of time, which we revert back to, okay, is it the scientific method, spiritual method? You know, is it just your brain waves that are causing this dream state, or, you know, is there
this is
actual
your brain
spiritual?
On morphine.
What's that?
This is your brain on morphine.
Right.
This is what it does to you. Well, there was a study one time done where a doctor who was, you know, performing surgeries had hidden pictures on top of the cabinets in the surgery suite.
Okay.
And he claimed that if you had an out-of-body experience, you should be able to tell him what the photos were on top of the... or whatever the, you know, whatever the images were that were on top of the cabinetry.
Cabinets or whatever.
And he said that he did it, you know, for almost a year, and no one who claimed to have an out-of-body experience could ever tell him exactly what the images were.
Well, I mean, if you're not looking for them, I mean, if you're coming out of your body and you're looking down at yourself, are you really looking for a picture on top of a cabinet?
Probably not. I guess not. I don't remember whether or not he actually told them to look for the image or not. I don't remember if he mentioned that there was an image or if he just kind of like, hey, did you happen to see? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly. I have to go back and make a Google.
I don't know.
Ow.
All right. So we'll go on to Susan Blackmore. Now, this one I have to refresh my memory on. There's a reason I put it here. But she was 65 from Devon. She had an out-of-body experience while reading psychology at Oxford University in 1970. Then she was 19-year-old, had been playing around with an Ouija board and smoking cannabis with friends when her trip began. So I think that was important.
Well.
So, yeah, she said, I was sitting cross-legged on the floor listening to Pink Floyd, and I started going down a tunnel in the music, as it were. She told the Sun Online, I was zooming along this tunnel towards a bright light. One of my friends asked me where I was, which I thought it was a weird question. Then suddenly, everything cleared, and I was on the ceiling looking down at my own body and my two friends below. Susan's friends kept asking her questions, which prolonged her experience for a staggering 2 hours. Well, that must have been some good cannabis. Nothing had ever happened to me like that ever, she said. My friends talked to me, and I talked back. I'd set off around the world to amazing places, and it was as if I was speaking to him down the phone, but we were in the same room. So while at the Sun Times recalls feeling afraid overall, she had a powerful feeling of freedom. Now, I don't really know if she was dead at this point, but while I got to take my glasses off here a second. Anyway, they're bugging me. So 15% of the population claimed to have an out-of-body experience. She didn't want her spirit to return to her body, as an experience was so vivid and wonderful. She viewed her figure as a heavy lump, so she didn't want to get back in her body.
Yeah.
But I'm still not seeing if she was dead or just so high that, you know, she just was floating around. So with difficulty, Susan returned to her body and felt pretty peculiar for a couple of days. She said, this convinced me it is totally illogical, but I understand why my spirit has left my body, that there is life after death and spirits can live without their bodies. And the feeling was very powerful. The experience had a profound effect on Susan. She went on to read tarot cards, got a crystal ball, trained as a witch, and joined a medium group.
Well, she went all in, didn't she?
Yeah, she was like a scientific guru. She, like, you know, she went to college and went, you know, she had no interaction with the spiritual world until she smoked this weed, I guess.
Okay.
So she says, I was absolutely convinced that I wanted to become a parapsychologist to prove to all the closed-minded scientists that they were wrong and there really are spirits and souls that can leave the body. So in 1980, she earned a PhD in parapsychology from the University of Surrey. But the result of her research weren't quite as what she was expecting. So she did lots and lots of experiments. She said, the more I did, the more convinced I was wrong. She said, there are no such thing as paranormal phenomena.
Well, that's because she came down from her high.
Exactly.
She needs more pot.
So in 82, she wrote Beyond the Body, an investigation into out-of-body experiences, but science was not yet developed enough to help her explain everything. So why does everyone seem to see tunnels of light and Holy Spirit? So you hear that all the time. It's like, I died on the operating table and I seen a tunnel of light, so I didn't know if I should go down the tunnel. Sometimes you have a spirit guide, you know, saying, come on, it's time for you, or no.
If it's the Roadrunner, don't follow him because the tunnel's not real.
Yeah, so stay away from the tunnel. So anyway, so scientists have been able to explain for some time why people think they're going down a tunnel of light during an out-of-body experience. It's because the way the cells in the visual cortex in the back of the brain are arranged. Hold on, let me pull this down here so I can see a little bit more. Here we go with this. What is that word? Anyway, so stop too much firing going on in the exact terrary cells are sensitive to lack of oxygen, psychedelic drugs, or stress. They stop doing their job, so you get a random firing. And this is what I was saying before, with lots and lots of cells towards the middle of what you're looking at. So experiments are currently being done using virtual reality headsets now, I guess, to kind of mimic what you think you're seeing when you're having an out-of-body experience and seeing the light and seeing the tunnel. But nobody really can explain, even though they think that is explainable by your brain firing differently, I guess. So does anybody else in the chat room have any ideas as to why you're seeing tunnels?
So Kara says that if you hear Metallica, it might not be light at the end of the tunnel. And Kat says, I think people see what they expect to see. Maybe they interpret it according to their belief. And I think that's actually my thought as well. Some of these things, you know, are definitely influenced by, you know, well, this is what I expected to see when I died. Therefore, that's what I'm going to see when I have my fake death, you know.
So your brain, it's so embedded in your brain at that point to when you, that's almost like what you're expecting. So your brain's like on override. It's like buried in there or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of weird. Because, I mean, it's like every story you see on, like, forensic shows. Or I shouldn't even say forensic shows, but any of them shows, you always hear about the tunnel or the light, or there was somebody standing by a doorway with a bright light guiding me or telling me not to come on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think... we're never going to know everything.
No, not at all. But we're going to take a real quick break, though, because we got to pause for station identification or whatever they say.
On shake and break.
Real TV. Or real TV, yeah.
Real TV, yeah.
All that real TV stuff, so.
They say I got a face for radio, so I don't know what that means.
It means you're ugly.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, hang tight. Listen to the Shadows Radio on the Power X Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Shadows Radio here on the Power X Radio Network. I'm still Rebecca.
I'm still Bill.
And we are still on the air.
We are still here. We didn't get fired yet.
How do you get fired on the fake radio?
Well, because of my enunciation and pronunciation, or lack thereof.
Say parietal lobe.
Mm-hmm. Parietal lobe.
There you go. See?
How about that?
Look at you can say words.
Look, I am going to be, you know, I know it ain't that old, but I'm going to be 53 this year. And I swear, in the past 4 months, my eyes have gone to crap. And I can't see. Like, during the first half here, I went without my glasses, I went with my glasses, and I'm good for 5 minutes, and everything goes blurry again. So
I think you might just be having a stroke.
Or I need Geritol, I don't know, or Viagra, one of the other two.
Isn't Geritol the one that makes your hair grow? No, wait, that's Rogaine.
No, that's Rogaine, yeah. I don't need that. Anyway. So we're talking about tonight about out-of-body experiences.
So I got to share one with you. I didn't have one personally, but this was relayed to me at one point from someone who asked me if I knew what it was and were they going crazy and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you are going crazy, but that's not related to this statement. Right. And he said that he was in a single car accident.
Okay.
And he said that he was standing on the side of the road, watched the car drive off the road, watched the car hit a tree and go up on its wheels on the side. So it's laying on like the passenger side door with the four wheels kind of in the air.
Okay.
And he said he ran for help. He couldn't find his phone. He's, you know, going to call 911, couldn't find his phone. So he goes running down the street for help, flags somebody down, pulls that person over, you know, kind of points them in the direction of the car, starts running back to the car. He said the next thing he remembered was being pulled out of the car by an EMT.
Oh, wow.
And apparently he was the driver of the car. But he doesn't remember anything about the accident. He didn't feel anything like causing him pain. There was no drama because he believes that he was spared because he was standing on the side of the road at the time. So, I mean, he had, you know, obviously injuries and he had to go to the hospital and everything.
Right.
But he believes that his soul or spirit or whatever it is that actually leaves your body during one of these experiences was on the side of the road rather than in the car. And it spared him from the pain of being in that kind of accident.
Okay. So now he stopped somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, was there actually somebody there or like?
Well, he stopped somebody who called 911.
Right.
At least that's what he claims. Now, the 911 call did come from a stranger who saw the crash scene. The stranger who called 911 claims to not have spoken to anyone.
Okay. That's what my question was. It's like, that would be freakier, I should say.
Yeah. Well, that would, yeah, that's what I was waiting for him to say, like, the guy, you know, watched them pull him out of the car and then said, like, oh my God, you're a twin or something, you know, and then he disappears. But no, he said that, you know, as far as he could tell, when the guy called 911, he claimed to just see the crash scene or the crash site or whatever. He didn't claim, you know, to speak to anybody. But he swears he flagged somebody down, asked to use his phone, kind of like, you know, it was crazy.
That is nuts.
And I remember hearing that and I was like, wow, that's just like, I mean, you're one lucky person because I've been in some low speed crashes that hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let alone absolutely. Something that ends up with four wheels in the air.
Yeah, because I can understand you know, you climbing out of the car and you're in a dazed, confused thing. And then you might see the crash and picture yourself in it. But for him to think that he got out of the car, he found somebody to call 911, but he was actually still in the car passed out. That's kind of nuts, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But as Kara says in the chat room, his spirit noped out of that right before the accident.
Yeah. Well, that last, the last point about that woman, you know, smoking, she smoked a bunch of weed and,
oh yeah,
you know, and then, but the funny part about that whole thing is she never believed in any of that stuff until she smoked this weed And all of a sudden had this out-of-body experience, and that drove her to become spiritualistic and you know, wanted to become, you know, research all of it. So that, I just think that's kind of weird, but...
Yeah, but then anyway, the minute she came down from her high, she was like, and I'm over this stuff. I don't believe in it anymore.
Yeah, but unless she wrote a book and make money, I don't know. But
I guess.
But it isn't the first time that I've heard, you know, from police officers. I mean, I know a lot of police officers. I know a lot of EMTs and firefighters. And with every one of them,
you know them,
there is some kind of story that goes along with this, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and whether it's made up in their minds or something traumatic that's really hit them or whatever, it just seems like you always hear either about a spirit saving somebody or an out-of-body experience where you see yourself in the second person, you know? So, you know, I thought there would be more people in, you know, the chat room, you know, telling about their experiences, because I think a lot of people have had this kind of thing. Maybe not known in their head, but maybe it just, you know, at one point in time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people know of a story, but it's always like a friend of a friend told me a story about this thing that happened. You know what I mean? Like, it's never like, it happened to me. Like,
right, yeah, I haven't had any myself, but, well, I have... Well, let's get off that part of the subject alone, and just how about a spirit that might have, you know, at their point of passing on, I call it a drive-by.
Yep.
Like maybe come by just to let you know something at that point of time, you know. So, and you may not have been a ghost that will ever come back and ever be with you. Like when we used to research, mm-hmm. you know, we went out to go look for a certain spirit in a certain house at a certain time, trying to contact somebody. But there have been, you know, spirits that, at their time of their death have, you know, taken off out of their bodies and gone somewhere. And then, just to let you know that they have passed. I don't know. I don't even know how to pose the question.
No. I feel what you're putting down.
Okay.
I've always called them like the one last goodbye kind of thing.
Right. Exactly.
That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like, you know, I get to kind of speak to my grandma one more time, or, you know, they let me know they're going to be okay, whoever it is, you know.
Well, here's my little story. This, you know, and this is really the only real thing personally that's happened to me. Now, with you and me and the rest of our group, that when we went out on an investigation, we all had certain experiences and we could discuss them. And they didn't pertain to us. They pertained to the location or the people at the location. Mm-hmm. But when my dad passed away, and I still, that, you know, and usually when this happens, it's embedded in your mind, you'll never forget it.
Yeah.
But when the day my dad passed away unexpectedly, I remember coming home from work, and I was already separated on my way to divorce, so I lived by myself and I had my two children. I was waiting for them to get off the bus, so I opened the I come home from work at 3 o'clock. And I go in the back door, and the first thing I do is let my dog out to pee. And it was, you know, January, so it was cold out, so I shut the door. And I come in, and I open the front door, leave the screen door shut, and I wait for the bus to come. So as the bus is pulling up, my dog is running around in circles. Now, he was a 16-year-old border Sheltie that didn't run around in circles.
Yeah.
Barking and screeching and like jumping up and down. I'm like, what in the hell is your problem, dog? My kids are getting off the bus and my phone rings. It was my brother. Said, Dad passed away. Need you to get to the hospital. And at that point, I just got chills up and down my spine because I did not leave my dog in the house.
Yeah.
And I swear to God that I did not because I stood there waiting for my kids to get off the bus, and the dog, the fence in the backyard, the dog's out there, he's fine. My dog's jumping around like my dad was there, you know, like he would do when my dad came to my house.
Okay.
And then I get that phone call a couple minutes later saying dad passed. And it was almost like I wanted to say, I know he did. Ain't that, that you know, whether that would be just a big coincidence or whatever, but that's like how I felt at that time. And I think a lot of people have felt that way. That's, they knew when somebody passed and they got a sign. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had over the years a number of clients who have said, like, oh, my father, my mother, my relative passed away, and they showed up in my house. And I've actually had to turn the case away. It's like, well, had they shown up since? No.
Right.
And that's exactly what I tell them. It's like, I am pretty sure, I believe that this is that concept. You called it a drive-by. I always called it the last goodbye, where they took a minute to, you know, just come back and either see you one last time or, you know, say their final farewell kind of thing, or let you know they're going to be okay. I think that happens a lot.
Right. Yeah.
I don't, however, think, again, that that's related to the guiding spirit or, you know, the other things that we were talking about. I think that's, again, a different phenomenon. Mm-hmm. That guiding spirit, however, I think, like, you're talking about Manuel in the hospital.
Okay.
I feel like that's probably either a spirit guide or somebody who's permanently in that. Like, I feel like if you went back in that kind of similar situation, you're going to find Manuel. Well, somebody's going to find Manuel again. You know,
Manuel's right. Manuel's protecting many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who
need it?
Because there's a lot of stories of hospitals that are like, you know, oh, the orderly was fantastic, or oh, the nurse was great. And then you go, we didn't have anybody on staff that day, or that person died 20 years ago, or, you know, those kind of things. And you're like, oh. Okay, then.
Well, we got Damien in the chat room.
Hello, Damien.
My friend. When I wrecked my Suburban, the rear axle exploded while I was inside. I remember being pulled out of the driver's side window. I broke my right orbital socket. Ouch. And three ribs. I was talking to my late brother when I had the accident. I kept a carnation from his funeral on the dash. Spent 2 weeks in the hospital and went to the site of the accident. We found the carnation on the side of the road in the perfect condition. So,
oh,
it's like his late brother was protecting him.
Yeah.
And then when he went back, that carnation was still there for him to take back. Fine, basically. Yeah. Like, hey, it was me. That's pretty cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, that's an intense story too. And one that you don't, I mean, I could understand, okay, I dreamed I spoke to my brother, but to go back and find that flower, and a flower is a fairly delicate item. It's not like it's, you know, a piece of metal.
Right.
You know, you breathe on them wrong and they fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, so that's very interesting. And I wonder, yeah, Damien, has your brother ever spoken to you or interacted with you at other times, or was it just that one time?
Yeah, and were you smoking weed during it?
That is not a question you're allowed to ask.
Oh, okay.
In an accident investigation.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, that's awful. And Kara actually says she also had an out-of-body experience at lunch in high school. Her friends must have been really boring. She said that she just kind of took off out of her body and left for the day.
Hmm.
Oh, and Damien added extra information. The fire marshal said it would have been impossible to pull him through the window. But he remembers being pulled out the window. So again, that's one of those things. It's like, wow. Like,
yeah,
how did that happen? Or, and then like the neuropsychologist would be saying, did you misremember that? You know, did you really just get pulled through an open door? Did they chop off the door? Whatever.
Right.
And you're like, no, it really happened the way that I said it happened.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's very compelling. You know, and I think there's more of those stories than less of them stories. You know what I mean?
It's like, I also think people are afraid to say some of those stories because feel like they're going to get looked at like they're nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, well, yeah, that's not how that happened. That's not a true thing. You know, like that's, I feel like, how most people feel like they're going to be perceived and realized when they start sharing some of that information. So I feel like there's a lot of these stories out there that just are never reported because of that.
Well, it's just like when we do paranormal investigations, we always try to look at the scientific answers versus the spiritual answer. So for most people, they're always trying to make sense of the situation in the world we live in. It's like, no, that couldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know, it had to be, I climbed out or I got pulled out by somebody other than somebody who has passed on. You know, it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, until you basically go through all of the what ifs and all of the stuff that you can think of what happened, and you can't prove that it happened in the real time other than being a spirit that helped you. You know, but then on the other side of things, you want to feel comfort at that point too. So,
all right, we got to wrap it up. We're over time. So,
oh, okay.
Yep, we're out of time. So, thank you guys all for sharing your stories and having a conversation with us. If you want a gummy tarot reading next week, please tune in and join in our chat room, and we will be sure to grab those for you. And as always, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Bill.